My name is Gary Johnson. I preach for the Greenfield Road Church of Christ at 4325 South Greenfield Road in Gilbert. I'd like to take the time to invite any of you to feel welcome at all of our services at any time. I'm going to be talking about salvation by grace. Now, all of us are familiar with the song that pervades our country and around the world that simply is called Amazing Grace. And we can quote it. We can say, "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." What a great, great song that is. A hymnal that is something cherished by everyone along the way. This morning, we're to be talking about the fact that nearly everybody believes that we're saved by grace, why the Scripture speaks about it plainly in several places. I'm reading out of the American Standard Version as I quote from the New Testament from time to time if you're following along with your Bibles. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, "But if it is by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." How important then is grace? We recognize and believe how important it is. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, it simply says, "For by grace have you been saved," by the same writer, the Apostle Paul. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Scripture says ever so plainly, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation unto all men." But as we talk about those things, just because all believers admit that we're saved by grace, yet there seems to be confusion because some say, by grace alone. But that's not the truth of the Scripture, as we'll see, because we don't just study individual passages. We put the unit of the Bible really from Genesis to Revelation all the way together. So it's not just by grace alone. No, that's not right. But then there are some others in reference to the confusing element of religious world that say we're saved by faith only or belief only. The reality is that's not true either, and we'll see that as we go through the lesson. But then there are some say, well, then you must believe that we're saved by works. Well, there's an element of not meritorious works, but there is the concept of working the works which God afore prepared that we should walk in. Let me give you an example. I'll never discount grace when I talk about faith or works. In Luke chapter 17, in a passage that's ever so simple, it says in verse 10, "Even ye so also, when you have done all things that were commanded you, say this, 'We are but unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do.'" Now, we said in Romans 11 in verse 6 that we're saved by grace, not of works. That's right. At the same time, in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read this passage. I might skip a few verses in the beginning in the interest of our time. But in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian brethren who have already obeyed the gospel. In chapter 2 and verse 1, he begins this way, "And did you God make alive when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein you also once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of powers of the air, and that spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. But you, Ephesians, have obeyed." He says in verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved?" You see, the word Christ is from a Greek word and a Hebrew word, the Hebrew word being Messiah, the Greek word Christos, which means the anointed one, the one that God appointed for a very special service to mankind. He died for us while we were yet sinners. We'll see that again in a minute. "For by grace have you been saved and raised up with him to sit with him in heavenly places spiritually, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us who are in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved," now listen carefully, "through faith." You see, faith has an important part in our salvation. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's nothing that you did, not anything that I did. McDonald's has a commercial that says, "You deserve a break today." Well, listen, we do not deserve salvation if in fact we're sinners. Well, the Scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. He says, "It is the free gift of God, not of works that any man should boast." That's meritorious works. Works that you can stand before God and say, "Look what I did. This, that, and the other thing, and therefore I deserve to go to heaven." Some folks think that way. But he goes on to say in this passage, "Not of works that any man should glory, for we are his workmanship." We allow God to work in us. Created in Christ Jesus, guess what? For good works. Well, what kind of works does God want us to do? For good works which God afore prepared that we are to walk in them. So let us not forget Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, grace are you saved, nor through verse 8, grace through faith, not of works, meritorious works, but we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. We start talking about Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, and some say salvation then is without baptism, because baptism is not mentioned. Well, if that's the case, then baptism is without repentance. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, it says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, that's the Christ, and he's given us assurance in that he's raised him from the dead. But if Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 teaches without baptism, then it also teaches without repentance, but repentance is taught. It also teaches baptism without confession, because confession is not taught. So we begin to see why the world becomes confused, because they do not harmonize together completely God's word. Yet, in reference to confession, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me before men, then I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 is often used by some who claim faith only. Just confess Jesus as your personal Savior and you'll be saved. But guess what it says in that passage? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says confessing Jesus as Lord. And so when we confess Jesus as Lord, we listen to him again in Luke 6 and verse 46, where Jesus is the one who said, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do the things I say? So it's very important that we recognize. Some people think that we can be saved just by being good moral men. But wait a minute, didn't we just say we're all sinners? Romans 3 and verse 23. Of course. Titus chapter 2 again, verse 11, said, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation unto all men. But that doesn't mean all men are saved. For the very next verse says, instructing us to this intent. What intent? The intent of our heart. That we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, focused, and righteously, where? In this present world. Guess what it says at the end of verse 14? Zealous for good works. Are those meritorious works? No. That's the idea of being zealous to do what God afore prepared that we should walk in. To live godly where? In this present world. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, does the Bible then contradict itself when it says not of works, but then in another passage it says that we are justified by works, James chapter 2, 24 through 26? You see, the truth of the matter is there's two sides of salvation. One side of salvation is God's side. What did he do? Grace. The second side that we'll talk about in a minute is the idea that man's response must be by faith. That includes obedience unto what God has afore prepared that we should walk in. Remember how many times we have said in prayer, not my will be done, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What do we mean by that when we say that? Do we mean it when we say that? You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, even when he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And it was the will of God, his Father in heaven, that he should die for mankind, the appointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. So what is it that God did? Well, grace is defined this way, listen carefully, unmerited favor. That's a common way to express grace. We did not deserve it, something that's undeserved. And therefore, as much as we didn't deserve it, God gave us his grace, his favor in the Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the scripture simply says that the wages that we are owed for our sin is death. Death literally means separation. When we talk about spiritual death, we're talking about being separated from God by our sin. It's very important that we recognize that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ and obedience to his words, in which we have access by grace. No, we have access by faith into that grace that we've been talking about. So what did God do? And let's talk about grace for a minute, because in Romans chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8, again, I'm reading from the American Standard Version in case you're following along with your Bibles. I hope, in fact, that you are. In Romans 5 and verses 7 and 8, I want to go back to verse 6. For while we were yet weak, in due season, Christ, the Messiah, died for the ungodly. For while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man would one even dare to die. Do you know in John chapter 15 and verse 13, a favorite passage that's often quoted when we see military men, as an example, allow their lives to be taken in order to save a fellow soldier? That's part of what that passage is talking about. In John chapter 15, Jesus was the one who said a noble saying, greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. That's an important passage, I think. So we see the nobility of one laying down his own life for his friends. But when God commended, when God expressed, when God demonstrated his grace for man, is that what he did? Listen carefully to what it says. For God commended his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You realize what it's saying? While we were enemies of God, nothing that we deserved, Christ died for us. Ah, let's make it a step further. God gave his only begotten Son. It's not the same as me saying for my fellow soldiers that I would jump on the grenade and give my life for my friend. But it's as if I were to give the life of my only begotten Son, not for my friend next to me in the foxhole, but for the enemy who's across the battlefield. Then we begin to start talking about what God has done for us when he expressed, he commended, he demonstrated his grace. Romans chapter 5, 7 and 8. God commended, he expressed his love toward us, and that while we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we go to Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, it begins to tell us something about this connection. I mentioned it a minute ago. We have our access to grace by faith, being therefore justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you notice how he uses that phrase Lord again? It's not just that Jesus was the Christ. He's available to all men. But not all men call him Lord nor do the things that he says. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. When we talk about wherein we stand, in other words, that's what I'm in. I'm doing what God says by his grace, the works afore prepared by God that I should walk in. Where? In this present life. He said that in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. So are we talking about grace? Yes. Are we talking about grace only? No, that's God's part. Not if the access is by faith on our part. Faith, yes. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 10. Verse 8, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we've already identified that about Luke 17 and verse 10. Even after we have done all things commanded of, we are but unprofitable servants. Yeah, by the grace of God, by faith having access. The wages of sin is death, we said, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Where? In Christ Jesus. So now we talk not just about God's part, grace, the undeserved favor that he gave us in the Christ, the Messiah, but man's response, faith. How would you define faith? If we say belief, well, that was certainly appropriate. If we said trust, that's another word that's appropriate. Or even just having confidence in what God said and did and what God says for us to do. In Hebrews 11 in verse 1, the passage says ever so simply, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. So sometimes in reference to standing for the gospel, of which I'm not afraid of or ashamed of, people say, well, Gary, you have a blind faith. Or you're just taking a leap of faith. No, when I begin to understand that which is talking about faith that would implore the idea associated with belief and trust and confidence and thereby the boldness to believe what is being said to me. I'll give you an example. When I was but about 7 years old, I learned how to swim at the local swim academy. And in the process of that, I could swim back and forth across the lower edge of the pool where I could meet the bottom of the pool just by standing up. I could do that back and forth. And my father said, okay, now's the test. He said, son, come to the deep end of the pool. I want you to jump in and swim to the other side. And I said, no, Daddy, I can't. He said, yes, you can. If you did it in the lower end of the pool, you can certainly do it in the deep end of the pool. He said, listen, this is what I'll do. I will jump in the pool and I will tread water and you jump in and swim across the pool. And if you need help, I'll save you. But this is what I want you to do. Jump in the pool and swim across the avenue of the pool. And I said, no. He said, don't you believe me? Don't you trust me? Don't you have confidence in me that I will not let you drown? Well, yes, Daddy, then do as I say. Why would you call me father if you're not willing to do what I say? Sure enough, when I believed what he said, I did what he said. I jumped in the pool and I swept to the other side. It wasn't a leap of faith. It wasn't blind faith. It was but a conviction based on the evidence that I was aware of by my father's teaching, so forth and so on. Can we not make that application in reference to the idea of our service to God in reference to our faith that gives us access to his grace in Christ Jesus? Again, we're talking about man's response now. Faith must then be expressed or demonstrated or commended on our part. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, which many people who know how to quote, not of works, lest any man should boast, forget to read verse 10. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in those good works. And that's what I'm interested in teaching you about for a little bit of time. In John chapter 6, you see, some people say, well, wait a minute, Gary, it's not of works. And they keep expressing that. Suppose I could take you to a passage in John chapter 6 and verses 28 and 29 where Jesus said that even belief, faith, is a work. That's what it says. John chapter 6, 28 and 29. It's in the discourse where Jesus was expressing the idea that he was the bread of life. Verse 28, they said therefore unto him, what must we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. You see, even our faith is a work aforeprepared by God that we should walk in, so forth and so on. It's interesting to me that Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, the Galatian brethren were having some problems. And Paul said that I'm surprised that you're so quickly removed from serving God in the way that I taught you, as he wrote them that letter. In verse 6 of chapter 5, salvation is not circumcision nor uncircumcision, talking about Jew and Gentile, but faith working through what? Through love. If you want to do a little study, go to 1 Corinthians 13, the first three or four verses, and guess what? If we have all faith so as to remove mountains, but it's not expressed by love, we're nothing. It's unprofitable to us. Again, we're talking about man's response to salvation by grace that's found in reference to the Christ. Faith is expressed or demonstrated. Go back to Titus 2. This time in verses 11, I'm going to read all the way down through verse 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 again begins by saying, the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation unto all men, instructing us to this intent, speaking about the intent of the heart, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, and righteously and godly, where? In this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Redeem means to buy back. How are we bought back by God? By the blood of his only begotten Son. That he might redeem us from all lawlessness or iniquity, sin, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. What good works? Meritorious works? No. What good works? The works afore prepared by God that we should walk in them. Now go with me to James chapter 2. I may skip down through this a little bit in the interest of your time, but in James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 26, now it begins in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man say unto you that he has faith, but he does not have any works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked in lack of daily food, and some of you say unto them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, that you might give them the things needful to the body, what does it profit? If you're hungry and I have some food and I'm not willing to share it with you, and I say be warmed and filled, what would it profit if I didn't give you some of my food? And we can do that with reference to spiritual food, etc. He goes on to say, even faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is dead by itself. A dead faith, you see. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O man, that faith apart from works is barren? Don't we remember Abraham, our father, justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works with faith was made complete or perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God. When did Abraham believe God? When he expressed it by willing to sacrifice such a wonderful child as Isaac, the seed of promise, back in Genesis chapter 22. And it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that man, by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. You know, that's the only time in the Bible, in the New Testament, that the word faith and only are joined together. Verse 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Some versions say by being alone. So faith is made known. It's revealed by the works that we do. What works? Meritorious works? No, not at all. Works that God afore prepared that we should walk in them if we call upon him as Lord. Now, at the same time, we talk about salvation by grace. By faith? Yes. Wait a minute, by grace through faith, but faith only? No, we just read the passages that identify that plainly. Alive, working faith? Yes, Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 says, even so reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. You know where that's spoken about in Romans 6? Right after the teaching where Paul is saying, don't be ignorant about why you were baptized. You were baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We see those things over again. We spent time talking about Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Faith working through love. That's right. When we study about a live, active, working faith, we simply go to Hebrews chapter 11, and without reading through all that, you can do it yourself over and over again. It's a wonderful chapter, about 39 or 40 verses long. But guess what it says in reference to those who were faithful? You remember what it says about Abel? Remember Cain and Abel? It says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. You know how faith comes by? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Abel listened to what God wanted him to offer as a sacrifice and subsequently offered a blood sacrifice, and God accepted it. Whereas Cain, sin was lying at his door, if you remember, after he offered a bad sacrifice, and he was jealous and envious and ultimately killed his brother. A dead faith, if we can say it that way. Guess what it says in Hebrews 11? It says that Noah prepared an ark. Let's see. There's an active verb involved there. Noah, by faith, did something. What did he do? He prepared an ark. But that's not all he did. Study all of the scriptures carefully and you'll find out that he was preaching righteousness for around 100 plus years. By faith, Abraham obeyed to go out from Ur of Chaldea and subsequently from Haran of Mesopotamia. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Abraham served God. By faith, Isaac is the one who blessed Jacob and Esau. If you remember, Esau was due the original blessing, but God gave that blessing to Jacob. The double blessing, if we can say it that way, in reference to the patriarchal blessing. By faith, Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. By faith, Rahab the harlot helped those Jewish Israelites under Joshua go out by a different way. By faith, Gideon, with 300 men, guess what he did? He routed 332,000 Midianites. Put them on the run. Gideon did 300 men. Where's that taught in the scriptures? Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 7, and Judges chapter 8. So we've been talking this morning about salvation by grace. Yes, but salvation by grace, that's God's part, expressed in the death of Jesus, his only begotten Son. And we've been talking about our access to that grace by faith, man's part, that works the works of God with love. When we talk about Ephesians 2 and verse 10, and we begin to say, all right, well, what are the prepared works of God that he wants us to walk in? James chapter 4 and verse 6 and following talks about the idea of cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Those sorts of things. Well, how do we do all that? Well, the plan of salvation. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Well, God said from heaven when he spoke about Jesus in Matthew 17, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Well, am I listening to Jesus as my Lord, the one who died for me? It is Jesus who said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. But that's not the only passage. Who said that? Jesus did. Jesus said, except you repent, you will likewise perish in sin. Luke 13, 3 through 5. What else did Jesus say? He said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my... Do we have to confess? If we deny him, he'll deny us before his Father in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. It was Jesus who said in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that would disbelieve should be saved. Doesn't matter, you can be baptized 100 times if you're not a believer. At the same time, it says in Matthew 28 and verse 20, our last verse, Jesus said to those who would be taught and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that they should be taught to observe all things that he's commanded. Let me leave you with one other verse because I'm always doing that, adding one more verse. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though Jesus was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made complete or perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. There's your lesson for today. I look forward for another time to talk to you.